Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. There is a blog site that is put out by an evangelical Christian by the name of David French. David French was very much involved in trying to get Mitt Romney elected to the presidency in the past two elections that we had. But he wrote this one blog that really caught my attention. The title caught my attention. Every evangelical Mormon argument goes something like this.
I think you got to be careful whenever you use the word every and all.
And that is exactly what caught my attention, because in this piece, he talks about what he thinks are bad ways in order to engage our LDS friends. And I'll admit right up front, there's a lot of things that he says that I think are worth noting. However, there are some things that I think really need to be examined more closely. He starts off the piece by citing another blog site called Philosophical Fragments, written by a man by the name of Timothy Dalrymple, and that he has been writing an excellent series of posts on evangelical Mormon relationships. This is what Mr. French writes. He says, "My favorite of the series begins with a decades-old exchange between Walter Martin, the famed Christian countercultist, and a young Mormon." This is a quotation that he takes from Dr. Richard Mao. Richard Mao is telling this story. Now, I want to apologize up front if you're getting bored hearing me mention his name, because he is getting so much attention in the media, especially among Christian circles. I think it's important that we examine what Dr. Mao is saying. And as you know, I do have my criticism of Dr. Mao and also Fuller Seminary for some of the information that they are disseminating. But he quotes this story by Dr. Mao, who tells the story about how Martin engaged a Mormon in a meeting. And this is what he said.
"In the Q&A, a very articulate young Mormon man stood up and they went back and forth quite a bit. The Mormon was insisting that Walter Martin misunderstood Mormonism on the atonement of Christ, and Walter Martin simply would not give in. And they got almost into a shouting match, and at a certain point the young man, with tears flowing down his face because Martin had been pretty rough on him, said, 'I don't care what you say, Dr. Martin, I believe that my sins have been forgiven by the atoning work of Jesus Christ on Calvary, and nothing you can say can change that conviction.' And Martin turned to the audience and said, 'See how they lie?'"
Now, did Martin really say, "See how they lie"? The reason I question this part of the story and other parts of it is, for one, this was a story that supposedly took place when Dr. Mao was in high school. On page 8 of his book, he says, "2 years after our visit to Salt Lake City, I sat through a series of Sunday night talks given by a popular speaker named Walter Martin on the subject of, quote, the cults. By this time, our family had moved to New Jersey, and I had a small group of Christian friends in the large public high school I was attending. Dr. Mao was born in 1940, so we have to assume that this cannot be taking place any later than 1958. He probably went to high school between 1954 and 1958.
It may have even been 55 to 58, because usually it was 10th through 12th grade. So
it could have been. The problem I have with this story is Dr. Mao does not tell the story the same way every time. In his book, Dr. Martin is not quoted as turning to the audience and saying, "See how they lie," speaking of the Mormon missionary, but rather he said to the audience, "See how they love to distort the meanings of words." So what did he really say?
Well, there are two different things that are being said here.
Okay. But the other point that I question is where he says, with tears flowing down his face because Martin had been pretty rough on him, said, "I don't care what you say, Dr. Martin. I believe that my sins have been forgiven by the atoning work of Jesus Christ on Calvary, and nothing that you can say can change that conviction." Well, here's a problem that I have. If you had looked at what was being taught to Mormons back in the 1950s, Calvary was not being emphasized. In fact, I have in my hand right here a 1958 edition of Mormon Doctrine written by Bruce McConkie. Under the section Passions of Christ, he strongly emphasizes the Garden of Gethsemane as where it all took place. It's not that they deny that Jesus died on a cross. It's just that it didn't have the significance in Mormon theology at this time as Christians place on the cross. I also have a tract right here printed in the early 1970s that says this: Christians speak often of the blood of Christ and its cleansing power. Much that is believed and taught on this subject, however, is such utter nonsense and so palpably false that to believe it is to lose one's salvation. Many go so far, for instance, as to pretend at least to believe that if we confess Christ with our lips and avow that we accept Him as our personal Savior, we are thereby saved. His blood, without other act than mere belief, they say, makes us clean. What is the true doctrine of the blood of Christ? Salvation comes because of the atonement, and the atonement was wrought out through the shedding of the blood of Christ. In Gethsemane, when He conditionally took upon Himself the sins of the world, He sweat great drops of blood from every pore, and then, finally, upon the cross, the shedding of His blood was completed. Notice where the emphasis is. This goes along with what was being taught in the 1950s. They don't ignore the cross, it's just the emphasis was placed in the Garden of Gethsemane. So for Dr. Mao to remember, "I believe that my sins have been forgiven by the atoning work of Jesus Christ on Calvary," I would tend to doubt that that's what a normal Mormon would say. Now, maybe he was a convert. Maybe he was recollecting himself what he remembered when he was being taught in Sunday school. I don't know. But there's one important factor that's missing. As we say, what was it that Dr. Martin actually said? That is the piece of the puzzle.
On the atonement of Christ.
Exactly. That's the piece of the puzzle that puts this whole conversation in context.
Knowing Dr. Martin, he's probably quoting church manuals, church leaders. He did that if you go through his book, The Kingdom of the Cults and The Maze of Mormonism. He quoted those kinds of things. He wasn't just probably, I'm guessing, because I wasn't there either, but I'm guessing he's not just coming up with his own opinion or what some missionary told him.
Well, here's the thing. If Dr. Martin had said something, does that necessarily mean that Martin was wrong? Now, he's trying to make it sound like Martin did not behave himself. It says here in this story, it says, "And they got almost into a shouting match." According to his book, on page 9, Dr. Mao says this: "Martin was not willing to yield an inch, and what began as a reasoned exchange ended in a shouting match." So did it end in a shouting match, or did it not end in a shouting match?
You can't have both. The law of non-contradiction says you can't have almost in a shouting match, and then it ends with a shouting match.
What troubles me is how Dr. Mao can put these statements into quotation marks and then palm it off on the public as this being an actual statement that was made by Dr. Martin. I would be careful of that. I mean, I don't have a problem with him saying, "Well, to my recollection, I remember that there was a strong disagreement." But when you put things in quotation marks, that kind of changes it all. But when he says here in his book, he says, "I'm paraphrasing the proceeding from a memory reaching back over about 5 decades, but I can still hear in my mind what the young Mormon said next in an anguished tone. You're not even trying to understand." Again, it makes, we're at a disadvantage here, because we don't know what Dr. Martin actually said. What if Dr. Martin was correct? Would we expect him to back off of his original premise simply because a young Mormon man in the audience happened to disagree with him? This isn't a public event here. I mean, I've had Mormons come and tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about, and then when I present them the case, they have to back off.
Or that they don't believe that, they might say. "I don't believe that particular whatever it is you're saying." Well, what's our response typically? Well, you might not believe it, and we're very careful never to say "you believe," but rather "this is what Mormonism teaches." And I think we have to go to the authorities, the manuals, the standard works over the voice of one individual.
Well, very quickly, what Mr. French goes on in this piece to write about is he gives this imaginary discussion between an evangelical and a Mormon. And he says that this is based on what he has heard on, I guess, on his blog site or maybe in person, I don't know, where the evangelical will say something like this: "Well, how can you support a Mormon for president? Mormons don't believe in Jesus and even believe," and then in brackets he writes, "insert craziest imaginable straw man argument here." If a Christian goes up to a Mormon and is concerned about what he believes Mormons to believe, what would be so wrong in bringing up some reasons why they struggle with having a Mormon for president? Now, I would agree. It would be erroneous for us to go up to a Mormon and tell them what right. they believe. And in this part, I would agree with Mr. French. It would be wrong to go up to a Mormon and say, Mormons don't believe in Jesus. Okay, you don't really know what that Mormon does believe regarding Jesus, so it would probably be more proper to at least ask. But when he says, insert craziest imaginal straw man argument here, I don't have a problem with bringing up some crazy teachings of Mormonism, but I would do it in a much more delicate way. I would say, well, do you agree with so-and-so who taught this particular teaching?
Or when it comes to Jesus, do you believe that he's the eldest brother and that we're all spirit brothers? I mean, that would be a easy enough question. And
I've had Mormons deny it.
Yeah, and so you can find that out by asking that question. But we can certainly support the idea that Jesus was the eldest brother.
Then he goes on to say the evangelical then will say something like, well, your church also teaches, and then insert something about planets and Battlestar Galactica. Now, I'm hoping he's using hyperbole here. But what do you do, Mr. French, when the Mormons have taught that they do get their own planets? And there's two manuals, and we've been saying this over and over again, two manuals you can buy right now that teach that very principle, that Mormons are going to get their own worlds after they're exalted. Would that be so wrong to bring that up if it's an actual teaching of the Mormon Church?
Even if a Mormon personally disagrees with that, it doesn't believe it, doesn't mean that it's not taught.
Another point he brings up is where he says, the Mormon says, well, I've been LDS my whole life and have never heard that. Well, seriously. Just because a Mormon has never heard that, does that automatically mean that the Mormon church leadership has never taught that? This takes me back to that encounter that Dr. Martin had with the young man at his meeting. The young man may not have even known what his church had taught on that particular subject. So you can't just assume because a Mormon doesn't know a certain aspect of their faith that somehow the Mormon faith never taught that. So I would have a difficulty with this dialogue scenario that Mr. French puts forth.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. If the LDS Church is not true, which church is? Didn't the Bible predict the apostasy of the Christian faith? These and 34 other questions often posed by Latter-day Saints are addressed in Kriegel Publisher's new book, Answering Mormon's Questions, written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. Included is a glossary of Mormon terms and questions for group discussions. This is a great resource for those who want to share their Christian faith. Answering Mormon's Questions is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or at mrm.org.